Telling and reliving the collective story of the Republican National Convention is fundamentally important for resistance movements in the U.S. By remembering these huge sparks in activity, we remind ourselves that we can confront the state in all its might, and all of a sudden, another world seems so much closer and so much more real. But just as important as telling our collective stories is learning from our collective experiences.
In this election, there is something happening in America.
I know these are tough times for many of you. You're worried about my friends, my dear friends, please, please don't be diverted by the ground noise and the static.
The RNC Welcoming Committee, the anarchist anti-authoritarian body organizing for the protests, started publicly organizing a full year and a half before the convention. This amount of lead time is something that hasn't been prevalent in the North American protest culture since the summit protest era at the height of the global justice movement. On Labor Day weekend 2007, exactly a year before the convention, the RNC Welcoming Committee held a weekend-long planning and training meeting, attended by hundreds of activists representing organizations from around the country.
What kind of activities are expected for the protest?
Well, something that came out of the first pre-NC was that we were going to blockade the streets and try to prevent the delegates from reaching the Xcel Energy Center and, in the Welcoming Committee's words, crash the convention. The RNC Welcoming Committee is not planning any actions or protests ourselves. We are more or less just creating the clearinghouse for people to come through us to have those actions happen.
We plan to provide you with over 300 buses and hundreds of private cars to transport you from your lodgings to the Xcel Energy Center all 4 days of the convention, with more than several freeway entrances into downtown St. Paul, including the I-94 Kellogg exit, the I-94 5th Street exit, the 35E 11th Street exit, the 35E University exit, the I-94 10th Street exit, and the I-94 12th Street exit. Getting to the Xcel Energy Center might be half the adventure.
With the Coalition to March on the RNC and Stop the War scheduled to march on the Xcel Center the same day as the RNC Welcoming Committee's crash the convention's blockade, organizers for both groups worried about how the two actions would play out together in the streets. But in February 07, organizers for both groups came together to establish the St. Paul Principles.
What it was a way to make sure that all the work of the local organizers wouldn't get pushed aside when the national groups came in. We've had a lot of success having other groups sign on to the St. Paul Principles, and it's actually pretty historic. The first thing mentioned is our solidarity will be based on respect for diversity of tactics and the plans of other groups. Meaning while people might disagree with tactics, we all recognize which side of the barricades we're on. There will be a separation of time and space for actions. And what that means is we're going to make sure that if someone's having an action in an area, that nobody's going to be bringing their action down on that one that's already going on. The third one, which is a pretty new agreement for people to sign on to before a march or an action like this, is any criticisms or debates of tactics, individuals, it will be kept internal. We're not going to go to the media and denounce this group who has different tactics than us. The last one is that we oppose any state repression of dissent, including surveillance, infiltration, disruption, and violence. We agree not to assist law enforcement actions against activists and others. It's pretty nice to see that people seem to be coming around to the idea that when it comes to a protest, the police are very firmly on one side.
This is your final warning. You will be subject to chemical ordnance if you do not disperse and clear this street.
In some sense, the Battle of the RNC was kicked off on Thursday, August 28th, with the erection of Bushville, a tent city modeled after the Hoovervilles of the Great Depression. This encampment on Harriet Island would serve as a home for the poor and homeless arriving in the Twin Cities to protest the Republican National Convention.
Homeless people sleep every single night across St. Paul. The only difference between myself and other homeless people that would be here in St. Paul is the fact that they don't have signs up. Is that the difference? Is it because we're saying something about what's happening in this country?
We know our families don't have the kind of health care that they need. They don't have the kind of housing that they need. We live in a rich country, and none of us should have to be dealing with 9,000 police officers just to talk about what's wrong in this country.
On Friday, August 29th and Saturday, August 30th, police made a series of preemptive strikes against the movement. Armed with a search warrant, police kicked in the door of the RNC Welcoming Center, a convergence space for protesters.
They ended up breaking through the door. All of us were in there. They had us get down on our stomachs as we were watching a movie. We were both terrified. The cops went and started plastic cuffing everybody for our safety and for theirs, supposedly, as he is crying and in hysterics.
The Ramsey County Sheriff's Department and the SPPD raided the RNC convergence space and detained over 50 people in an attempt to preempt planned protests of the RNC on Monday.
Sir,
looking for items
please.
Found at any Twin Cities house like jars, paints, and rags, this attempt to portray us as criminals and destroy our credibility has already backfired, as evidenced as the masses of people who have come to support us.
Frank, it's Gina. There's two more house raids going on in Minneapolis. One's at 2301 23rd Avenue South, and the other's at 3240 17th Avenue South. Just thought you might want to know.
Me and my partner were sleeping, and I was naked, and officers came and separated us and made me lie on the floor naked for about an hour.
By the time the first wave of raids ended, at least three houses had been invaded, and eight RNC Welcoming Committee organizers had been arrested on felony conspiracy to riot charges. In response, the legal, communications, and community outreach structures jumped into high gear, legally contesting the arrests and the searches, providing solid, accurate information, and running rumor control, and generating a widespread expression of community outrage.
PMC Shane Penley, age 19, Sauk Village, Illinois. Died in Iraq April 6, 2008.
We will remember you.
August 31st. We remember, say the Veterans for Peace, as they march on the Excel Center to read out the names of U.S. soldiers and Iraqi civilians killed in the war.
Unknown Iraqi child, bloody face and loss of right eye.
We will remember you.
Monday, opening day for the RNC. At the state capitol, the people assembled, preparing to march in peaceful protest to the Excel Center. Estimates vary on the size of the crowd, between 10 and 30,000 people. The police were armed with extended batons, pepper spray, tasers, tear gas guns, automatic rifles, and guns firing less lethal projectiles. Today, public order would be kept by 3,700 police from across Minnesota, with the help of thousands more from over 30 agencies. The RNC Welcoming Committee had divided St. Paul into seven sectors so that groups throughout the country could coordinate their actions and blockade as many access points as possible. Each group created a unique blockade, independent yet collaborative. Major entrance and travel points in each sector, from highway on-ramps to busy intersections to hotel shuttle bus loading spaces, were claimed by the affinity groups. Oh, traffic was blocked for several hours in downtown St. Paul, and during the chaotic scene, the swarm of protesters was able to disable at least two buses by slashing their tires and smashing their windows. Delegates were delayed in getting to the Excel Center, and hundreds of America's political elite were directly and personally confronted by an energetic declaration of opposition. Police reacted aggressively, strategically and methodically working to force protesters out of key intersections and off of main thoroughfares. They used blunt object force, chemical weapons, and concussion grenades in an attempt to disperse, or at least push back, the crowds. And when their numbers allowed it, police surrounded and arrested entire groups of protesters, reporters, and bystanders.
Put your hands behind your back! You're under arrest!
Get down! From that day on, the St. Paul police held a constant assault against all RNC protesters, regardless of their affiliation or permit status. We remember the U.S. tank that fired on the Palestine Hotel in Baghdad, killing Spanish journalist José Couso, and the U.S. missile attacks on the offices of Al Jazeera in both Iraq and Afghanistan, shortly after the U.S. invaded those two countries. Altogether, at least 217 journalists and media assistants have been killed in Iraq since the start of the U.S.-led invasion, according to Reporters Without Borders. Recently, indie media journalist Sally Grace Ehler was raped and murdered in Oaxaca, Mexico, in a case linked to political repression, much like the case of indie media videographer Brad Will, who in 2006 was gunned down in Oaxaca while covering the teacher's strike. Journalists serve as the eyes and ears of democracy. Without free access to the story, there can be no freedom of the press. In St. Paul, the police escalated their usual heavy-handed attack on media activists by first detaining, nearly a week before the convention began, members of the Glassbead Collective.
They confiscated our cameras. They confiscated our notes. They confiscated our computers. What they took away is our ability to report.
Later, police raided Eyewitness Video, a cop watch group. Their footage of police arrests at the RNC 4 years ago in New York resulted in hundreds of arrested demonstrators getting off, since the eyewitness video footage showed time and again that the police were lying about the circumstances of the arrests.
We heard them basically busting in. Myself and Elizabeth Press and another gentleman in the house had cameras, and we were videotaping and photographing as we heard the police bust through an attic door, yell police, come down the stairs, and enter the living room with a handgun drawn on us.
Come on, top of your head, please. Top of your head, please.
Two members of the Pepper Spray Collective, Lambert Rochefort and Joe Lissac, were arrested in St. Paul while covering the protests. They were both held for days, and their cameras were not released until after the story they traveled from Seattle to cover was over. It was a serious blow, which put the lens cap on their reports.
Release the accredited journalist now!
From the convention floor.
You are violating my constitutional rights. You are violating now.
Sir, I'm
on it. Authorities picked up a rock, only to drop it on their own feet with the arrest of Democracy Now!'s popular host, Amy Goodman, and her crew. The police quickly let Amy out of jail as they were inundated with a storm of calls and other pressure demanding her release. Independent filmmaker Flox Rostrum operates Mobile Broadcast News, a school bus that serves as a video production facility, roaming the country to cover underground news. Throughout the RNC, the St. Paul police attempted to break in numerous times without a warrant, forcing the Mobile Broadcast News crew to keep watch 24/7. Domestic preemptive raids and arrests against protest organizers and the press marks an escalation by the authorities. They clearly wanted to cripple the movement and our ability to report on it, and certainly did not want the unblinking eye of the camera trained at them while they did their dirty work. These tactics raise political questions around the constitutional right of freedom of the press and exposes the ugly face of the police state.
They tried to use me, but I'm not a tool. They tried to lie to me, but I would not be fooled. They tried to bribe me, but I could not be bought. And they tried to stop me, but I would not be stopped. 'Cause we are unstoppable.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to part two of Ground Noise and Static. Okay, so you suckers thought that we were just going to grill the Republicans and let the Democrats off the hook, didn't you? My selecta, rewind that shit. Our team of video ninjas went to Denver for the same reasons we covered the protests in St. Police. There is a resistance movement growing throughout the land and all around the world. A movement that is bigger than elections. A movement that broadly unites people across diversity of class, social, political, economic, racial, and gender lines. A movement that in the spirit of the St. Paul principles can live with its many differences, because we are all united against a common enemy. Because we know there is something fundamentally wrong, and even suicidal as a species, with the corporate vision of the future. So the movement went to Denver, just like St. Paul, to proclaim mutiny, to stand and to be counted on the side of the better world that is possible.
When things like this happening, somebody better recreate some struggle.
Larry Hearn, Workers' World Party.
Our immigrant sisters and brothers are being rounded up by the thousands, dragged out like slaves, dragged out of plants and factories, out of their home, thrown in prison. Some of them are dying in prison for lack of medical attention, deported. Some of them are being beaten to death, lynched. Somebody better recreate some struggle. Somebody better recreate some militancy, some unity.
Professor Ward Churchill, author, Pacifism as Pathology.
What occupation do we oppose? What war do we oppose? All war? Any war? This war? That war? How about the war that's right here in occupied Denver?
Jared Mayer, Westword writer.
With the DNC coming to town, it's like Santa Claus has dropped off gifts for the Denver Police Department, only these gifts are in the form of new riot shields, new security cameras, and gas canisters to use on protesters.
Have you noticed that with all this talk of stopping terrorists and Bin Laden and all that stuff, and all this militarization and homeland security, that it all comes down to the government's guns pointing at us?
This is what happens in a nuts country, not what happens in America. You can't even walk down a street without them coming out with their war gear on.
Well, it ain't no doubt that some peeps who were righteously interested in bumping chests with Republicans skipped Denver, really to avoid making the Democrats mad. It is safe to say that those who showed up in Denver, and there were lots of them, were clearly sick of the two-party corporate police state system.
Cynthia McKinney, Green Party presidential candidate.
When it came to the Constitution, the Democratic leadership showed us that aiding and abetting illegal spying on us was more important to them than protecting our civil liberties. When it came to war and occupation, the Democratic leadership showed us that financing an illegal and immoral war based on lies was more important to them than the people's desire for peace. And when the people, hurting from the financial mismanagement of this country, called for accountability for the crimes that have been committed against the people here, against the global community, against nature itself, the Democratic leadership took impeachment off the table.
For even greater use of clean coal technology.
We need to have clean coal technology.
And that's why we have to invest in clean coal technologies.
The DNC was also being billed as the greenest convention ever by the Dems. And a need to seriously confront green capitalism was seen as a necessary component to the protests.
One of the most prominent things that we see every day is this thing called greenwashing. And it's when corporations will try to say that they're a part of this environmental movement. And so, you know, they're a part of this sustainable paradigm that we all want because we see how unsustainable our current lifestyles are. The problem with that is that these companies aren't part of our sustainable future. And the sooner that we realize that, the sooner that we're going to get rid of them, divest from these companies, let them die, and start building up something that's truly sustainable.
The Clean Coal Lobby was out in force at the DNC, passing out fans and buttons touting the virtues of clean coal without even explaining what it is. Overall, the anti-green capitalism march was a success in causing a spectacle to counteract the damn green image and got into the heads of unsuspecting political tourists. This was a powerful victory as normal folks become disillusioned with the political system and look for real alternatives beyond what is offered by the Democratic leadership. One of the best indicators of how shaky things are for the rich is the role of Iraq vets against the war. Fresh back from the killing fields, these mutineers are driven by their own experiences to confront Democrats and Republicans alike.
I think people need to get out in the streets. I mean, I think it has to be a real movement. GIs have to stop fighting the war. That's how it ends. And they need the support. They need to see people in the streets that are supporting them so that, you know, when they actually resist and when they go AWOL, that the people are there for them.
More and more vets, and now active duty military, are joining IVAW to stand and confront their masters. Ron Kovic, paralyzed Vietnam veteran, whose story is detailed in Oliver Stone's movie Born on the 4th of July, and who in real life rode his wheelchair to disrupt the Republican convention in 1972, never stood so tall as to when he wheeled out of this year's Democratic convention to stand with IVAW as they faced off the cops and their political handlers.
When I have to go inside of a cage to dissent, to question authority, is that the freedom that I sacrificed my body for? We are going to, in the next couple of days, we are going to find that freedom. We are going to allow the American people to know that we are not going to be silenced. That's what being an American is all about. We refuse to be silenced. They will not tase us. We will not go silently into this dark American night.
This was a photo op moment. Rank and filed, disciplined, silver bugle and all, standing against the masters of war. Here's how it all went down. Rage Against the Machine rocked out a free concert in front of thousands of fans. Immediately following the show, Rage instructed the crowd to march behind the vets to the Pepsi Center for 5 freaking miles. The plan worked, and about 10,000 amped up peeps walked towards the DNC in an unpermitted march.
Have come here to hold the Democratic Party accountable. We want to talk with Senator Obama. We do not want to hurt you. We don't want you to hurt us.
They stood in mutiny, and the cops, who would immediately attack a similar crowd led by other protest groups, punked out. At one point, the popo started suiting up, preparing for the order to attack. The vets stood unwavering, the crowd on edge. The authorities tried to stall, but the vets determinedly held their ground.
We are
awaiting negotiation
with Senator Obama
the Democratic Party
it's right now.
Finally, the police blinked and it felt like a decisive battle had been won.
The veterans liaison is coming out to set up a meeting to talk about when we can read our letter to the delegates.
No doubt the ranks of IVAW will continue to grow with volunteers stepping up to the battle. Their actions reach those unreachable by other means, and by example, they call out on all Americans to exceed the limits, to break ranks, to join the revolution. In conclusion, the Republican conventions of 2008 succeeded in bringing people from all around the country together, and cementing strong bonds which will carry you on beyond the conventions. See you in the streets.
They tried to use me, but I'm not a tool. They tried to lie to me, but I would not be fooled. They tried to bribe me, but I could not be bought. And they tried to stop me, but I would not be stopped. 'Cause we are unbeatable. And we are unstoppable.
We have to come together. That's what this campaign's about. That's why you're here.
Ground Noise and Static is a collaboration between Submedia and Pepper Spray Productions. Visit their website at submedia.tv and pepperspray productions.org.